Hey, welcome to the Meat House. Jeff here. Chris is back.
The cold never quits.
No, we got a thaw. Something. It's we're still in my kitchen because
yeah, it's
still cold.
It's still cold.
But hey, that's like 3 or 4 weeks in a row. People have been listening to us whining about the weather. Maybe we should.
I'm gonna stop.
Yeah, let's move on. Hey, thank you guys for listening. You guys tune in week after week. I get to see those numbers climbing week after week. It's pretty awesome to say the least. And you know, getting the interaction on our Facebook posts and the the emails, the suggestions for topics, we love it. Please. Keep it coming. Whether you reach out to us on like info@themeathouse.com, you find us on Facebook, we're available.
We're available. And, you know, we're on a lot of platforms. Spotify is not one of them.
It's been a minute since I've checked. If we are, they have not sent me a, hey, congratulations on being on Spotify.
I know we're not on Apple.
We are on Apple.
We're on Apple.
I think we're on everything but Spotify.
Okay, cool.
So if you've got a preferred podcast player of your choice, we're probably on there.
We're probably on it.
Unless you're using Spotify. And from what I've heard, Spotify doesn't really pay artists very much. So
that's not why I'm doing it anyway. Yeah. But anyway,
no.
It'd be nice to get, to give you all the options we can give you.
Yeah, absolutely. And hey, the other group we need to thank, of course, is Box and Barley Corn.
Box and Barley Corn is, I'm there enough that some customers think I work there. And I don't mind. And if I know the answer, I'll give them the answer. I don't. There's Jake. There's Jake. There's his buddies.
You know, we are kind of losing homebrew stores in this country, and homebrew stores are just an important part of the craft world. Like it or lump it, they are the connecting point for a lot of people because it's where you go to get your stuff, whether it's ingredients or equipment or what have you. And if you've lost a nearby homebrew store, it's not having a nearby homebrew store, but it may be your next best bet.
Yeah.
You reach out to them through their website or online, contact them because there's the passion, the know-how. You can get
the ingredients, the equipment, it's all there.
And hey, if you use our code,
MHP10.
Almost got you.
Almost got
you. Almost got you. MHP10 for 10% off your account. That'll save you some money for shipping, for taxes, what have you. They are already pretty competitive because, in today's marketplace, you got to be.
But also, you let them know that you're listening to us and we're actually helping them out.
Right.
And we appreciate that.
That they're investing in us and that investment is paying off because you're getting something out of it, which is good for everybody.
Yeah. Really,
at the end of the day. So, Chris, last week we talked about lychee. And lychee. I
loved it.
Lychee was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. I loved it.
But
then we started thinking, all the things we missed.
Back when we were doing the initial like tamarind thing, we both did a little looking to find where we could find some tamarind stuff. And when I went to one of the bigger like Asian supermarkets in town, I saw a huge display of these weird fruits that I just didn't recall seeing before. And there is that curiosity in my head of like, what the hell are you and what do you do? And there were all these different colors. They're big fruits.
Yeah, I mean, they're bigger than grapefruits.
Right. They're almost like a honeydew or an American cantaloupe kind of size.
Almost, small cantaloupe size. And when I'm out looking at odd fruits and things like that, since I do hydromels a lot, generally, and I don't know why I've started doing it, but can I meet it? Well, let's find out.
So today, we're talking about pomelos. And pomelos, it turns out, are interesting in their own right.
Yeah.
They're what's considered an ancestor fruit. So they're not a cultivated fruit species, like oranges or lemons or limes or what have you. They are, they're the ancestor to the grapefruit and apparently also to the bitter orange, which is you probably don't care for it, but one of my favorite beer styles is Belgian Wit, which uses bitter orange as one of its two like primary like adjunct flavors in addition to like the hops and the malt and stuff. So, I'm quite curious. From everything I've heard, these guys they're citrus fruit. They're a big citrus fruit, like we were mentioning.
Yeah.
And they have a flavor that is reminiscent of grapefruit, obviously, one of those ancestor species, but is a little less bitter and a little less sour and a little more sweet. And Chris is trying to manhandle this guy. Oh, let's talk about meat of the day while I get out a big knife.
Better choice, because I was trying to rip the rhino thing and my thumb wasn't strong enough. All right, welcome to the Sap House here. It's a sugar maple. It's 13.8%. And
Are you getting the smell off of this?
Because oh my gosh, yes. That's almost doing the rule.
That is very fragrant. There are different colors, different varieties of pomelo, and we started with the yellow pomelo.
This one's going to be have to go down. All right, so how long have you had this one, Joe?
It has been a minute.
You're going to have a little piece of cork in there. Sorry about that.
So this isn't among my oldest bottles of Sap House, but it is. I don't think they do the wax dip anymore on the lid or the cork. Yeah, there's honey on the nose. There's a little bit of that.
I'm not getting a lot of the maple.
It's almost more woodsy than maple.
Yeah, and I smell the woodsiness, yeah.
Light woody flavor. That might even be from honey more than from the maple itself. You know, I don't know if you've tried making
Of course, I haven't tried smelling anything other than this
giant melt. Tropical fruit in front of us, yes.
Yeah, that's when I said I was filling the room with smell, I take my glass away from my nose, and I smell the pomelo. Now, I will tell you that it's a kind of light to medium amber
mm-hmm.
on the sugar maple. And the flavor, I can taste the maple.
Yeah. And I don't know if you've tried making a maple mead before, but generally from everything I've heard, you kind of have to, it's like any other light flavor. You've got to more back sweeten than put it in up front because otherwise you will lose it in the primary.
Yeah.
So.
I've actually had a friend of mine who did try to make a maple syrup mead, mm-hmm. or maple syrup wine, I should say. It wasn't with honey. And in the end, he put a whole bunch of maple syrup in the primary, and not a thing came out the other side. Not a bit of maple.
I got a couple customers when I was working at Bacchus who tried very similar things, and they all had very similar results. You gotta back sweeten with that if you're gonna do anything because that maple flavor is delicate and easy to lose. And I'm getting tired of doing all the little
thin cuts. Okay, Jeff is delicately trying to cut off the rind of thing because he's gonna actually use the rind.
There is a lot of pith to this too. So I'm gonna skip the rest of the cutting for later off mic, and I'm just gonna get to the meaty good stuff.
And that's huge.
Yes.
It's got a lot of fruit in there. I've got an average-sized man's hand, and it's like two-thirds. The fruit is two-thirds the length of my hand from the bottom of my palm up to the middle joint of my fingers.
Mm-hmm. And like any other citrus fruit, it's little segment parts. I cut through the middle of a couple of these guys, so you know they're not cleanly pulling apart, but they probably will as we get a little deeper into this guy. It's a very light-colored flesh, kind of a tan seems inappropriate color, but it's not bright, slightly darker than lemon.
Very mild flavor. I mean,
it is acidic.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily as sweet as I was led it to would be to believe, but
I can see where grapefruit came from, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is reminiscent of grapefruit more than anything, and I've heard these described as Asian grapefruit more than once too.
Okay, it's got a bitterness in the acid.
Yes,
I'm getting it. If you get a grapefruit of any variety, sharper hue, it's segmented exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's got the little fruitlets inside the wedges. And it's a mild, not a pink grapefruit, a shattered yellow grapefruit. It's got that mild flavor of that.
Mm-hmm. A little less bitter, a little less sharp acidity. Honestly, I think if I said, hey, I'm making a pomelo mead, if I put a pomelo mead in Valkyrie's Horn, for example, and had people that had never had pomelo specifically judge it, they'd say, well, okay, you made a grapefruit mead.
Yeah.
It's close enough to grapefruit, but I think for all intents and purposes, this is enough that counts. Right?
The sweetness is just not there. It's just not sweet like the lychee was or even an orange or a lemon.
Right. Yeah. No, you can tell that whatever the two child cultivated species from this are the bitter orange. Bitter and the grapefruit, neither of which are like prized for their sweet flavor. Grapefruit being the more common of those two.
And I will tell you, this thing is tough as all get out to just pull apart. It fights.
Separating these sections does take a little. You got to start with some oomph.
Now, mind you, I could not. Neither of us. I look for pomelo in a can
mm-hmm.
liquid. Or juice, didn't see any. Didn't see any pomelo paste or
right
or concentrate. Or if you're getting, I mean, I'll be honest, guys, if I was going to do this for a mead, I'd get a grapefruit.
Grapefruit's got to be so much easier to find, too. You could probably, I think you can buy just squeezed grapefruit juice and save yourself some effort.
Yeah.
Get a preservative-free grapefruit juice and you're 90% of the way there. I mean, the fact that this is a little, the flavor profile is a little different. Okay, that's nice, I suppose.
It's not grapefruit. I mean, you will not mistake this for grapefruit. It's not going to happen. The problem with this one is, given the amount of work, and it's not exceptionally juicy either. It's got the juice, yeah, but, you know, when I bite it, it's not going to squirt in your mouth either.
Right, yeah. It's these little arrows or whatever the hell we're calling these little fingerling segments that actually contain the juice.
It's a little anticlimactic for me, man. I'm sorry to say.
I mean, yeah, no, it's...
I mean, okay, now, Jeff, he's going to take the skin off it without the pith and take the pith off so he can... What are you going to do with that?
I'm going to do an oleosaccharosis, where basically, you know, sugar, whether it's the honey we're using to brew with or just like the white table sugar we use on any baked good ever,
yeah,
is hydrophilic, meaning it loves water. And what it will do, it will also, incidentally, love oil. What it will do, if you soak the rind, peel, whatever the hell, of citrus fruits, it will pull all those yummy citrus oils out and make kind of a oily syrup. And people use those in cocktails. They use those in baking. I intend to just see what happens with this. I've made a really nice just margarita mix for my wife and I out of, like, orange and lime zest previously doing this process. So I think grapefruit going to be right up this alley, whether it's going to end up in a margarita mix or... a mead or what have you, worth a try.
Yeah.
As long as I've got these giant masses of surface area here, I might as well do something with it, right? Yeah.
And, you know, it's the same thing I do with the sugar I have, the white sugar I have at home. I throw my vanilla pods in it.
Mm-hmm.
I use vanilla pods in it.
Yeah.
Got vanilla sugar. But you know, I'll tell you, am I disappointed in this? Only because I was hoping for a lot more flavor out of it.
Yeah. It's not as... I can see why this is not a cultivated species, and this is kind of if you look at the culinary use cases of it, I can kind of see why. Because the main things, from one of the things I heard of, apparently the Chinese word for pomelo is very similar to the word for to have, to possess.
Okay.
And so, in some ways, this kind of like, I don't want to like primitivize or like, talk low of anyone, but there is that kind of that magical thought process of these are related things. So just having this is a sign of like family prosperity, not necessarily eating it.
Okay.
A lot of the times it's used in fresh preparation stuff like fruit salads or on salads or other greenery, not necessarily like consumed directly.
Now, that was a yellow pomelo.
Right. So we'll have to see if the green is any different. And when we were looking these up, some of these have like a red flesh inside, as opposed to this one, which was a very pale flesh.
Oh,
so Chris is cutting right into this. And yeah, we got some rose color.
This is a little bit more like what you could think of a grapefruit.
Yeah. This has a little bit more of the center part, like near the middle, is pale.
But the outside is more rosy or pink. Yeah,
next to the pith, it definitely has some bright color. It is also a little stiffer than the yellow.
It also has a thicker rind. I mean, look at that. It's got twice the pith rind in there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if that's when it was picked or not. I don't know how these things are grown or anything about them.
Maybe a little juicier. Well, the fibers are thicker, tougher, but the flavor is a little nicer, I think.
Mm-hmm. This one has potential.
A little bit.
This one has a little potential. I mean,
it still has a very... I still would have a trouble distinguishing this from a regular grapefruit, especially once you add, like, honey sweetness and other things going into it.
But I'll be honest with you. Yeah, it is true. I agree with that. The flavor is actually a little milder overall. I mean, it's not even the sweetness or anything like that. I'd have trouble getting any flavor out of this. If I made this, people would think I had made a traditional... Or maybe a hint of citrus.
Yeah, you have a point.
That's even if I put it secondary.
At the end of the day, yeah, this would be a little hard to differentiate between, hey, I made a traditional and added a little citric acid for some zing, versus I made a pomelo mead.
Yeah.
By itself, this is a nice flavor.
It's a nice flavor. I'm not mad about it. I'm glad we got it. But, you know, you're... I wish you could have seen me trying to cut into this green one. Because Jeff,
I'm trying to He-Man open the green one to get some of these different pieces, and it ain't working.
You know, I'm a tool-using monkey here. I'm going to cut it.
And I'm an obstinate. Nope, can't do it.
They are hard. They are tough. Even the knife, and I've got a butcher knife here, is not giving much. I mean, you'll cut it, but this is...
At what cost? At what level of effort?
Yeah. But, you know, again, Jeff's going to take the rind and make it in, put it in sugar and see what happens there.
And it might turn out real great. I mean, at worst case, we'll have... Now, here's the interesting thing about pomelos, though, too. Grapefruit.
I don't know if you can hear me tearing the fruit out of this thing, but yeah.
Grapefruit, as you may know, has some negative interactions with all kinds of different medications. Not just... There are some that are very prominent, like statins and cardiac medicines, things like that, where they're like, hey, don't eat grapefruit if you're taking this medication. Because if you've eaten grapefruit within 3 days of taking this medication, you can have serious problems. But there are all kinds of other stuff that is not necessarily co-indexed the same way, because it's not as prominent. But there are all kinds of things this can mess with, including like... mental health medications like Xanax and a bunch of other anti-depression, anti-anxiety medications. It can even, there is conflicting research because it's not really that important. There is some research that says that grapefruit can slow down the absorption of caffeine and make the jittery symptoms worse.
Wow. I'm glad you looked that up because I would have.
If you have a situation where you should not be eating grapefruit, you also should not be eating pomelo.
Yeah. Or drinking it in this case.
Right. Yeah. One way or the other.
Yeah. But you know, we wanted to go through pomelo because, hey, this is really big fruit. What can we do with that? And would I meet it? Probably not.
Right. Yeah. No, once we have cracked into these guys and seen the effort involved.
No. I mean, I'm not that ambitious.
Now, what have we here?
Okay. Now, when I was looking at the pomelos, when I went to the Asian market, I found something, and they had, and the sign above it said sweet lemon. The tag on it said sweet lime. Now, like you point out to me today, lemon and lime is an American thing because lemon and lime is almost interchangeable internationally.
In the English-speaking world, in languages outside of English, lemon, lime, and the word citron are fuzzy concepts at best. What we are looking at is roughly
it's smaller than a lemon, and it's more round.
And it is larger than a lime. It is slightly larger than a mandarin orange.
Yes.
That's fair. That way. It is yellow in color, deep, dark yellow in the pith, and the flesh is a kind of a light, pale, straw yellow, kind of like a lemon.
It's horrible. I took a bite, like a wedge of it, and took a bite. It's flat and a little bit bitter, and give me my mead. That is not sweet.
That is all the things I dislike about Lemon Pledge without any of the things that there is to like about Lemon Pledge, yeah. Which is already pretty thin.
If you buy yourself a sweet lemon, sweet lime, whatever this is, use it with baking soda to clean off your headlights. I mean, that's the best I can tell you with that one.
I mean, I will still try the whole oleosaccharum thing with these peels, too, because...
Why not?
Let's hope we get something good out of this. But that, man,
that's three in a row, man. We're slipping here.
Well, two of those were pomelos, and the second pomelo wasn't bad. It just wasn't great. I mean, yeah.
I mean, both of the pomelos tasted better than that sweet lime.
True,
both of them did.
Yeah, that was almost sober.
Yeah, that was. Oh, I now, still got a.
Hold on here, pal. Before you cut into that,
okay,
is this our? This might be our last citrusy thing on the menu today.
It is.
This is a kumquat. I am given to understand. I can't remember if this is if it's kumquats or calamansis, but some of these guys you don't have to peel.
Okay, let's find out. Looking up the information, well, Wikipedia. Thank you. I don't know. I don't have any information here about eating a kumquat. So, okay. Well, the flesh and seeds are all edible. Sweet, aromatic. You just eat it.
Yeah. See?
Okay, well, I'm going to cut into one just so I can tell you what it looks like inside.
That's fair. I'm not going to stop you.
Oh, of course, I have the knife. Anyway.
We'll fight?
No, no, no. You're better at this than me.
Oh, man. I was hoping for a fight.
It looks a little bit like a very, very tiny orange.
Yes, it looks like a teeny tiny little orange. And these are, in the whole, like, sports equipment and other fruits, this is the size of a grape.
Yeah.
Like, that's all we're looking at.
A large grape.
Whoa, wow.
That's got flavor.
Well, it's like an orange when, all right, lunch money now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a fight in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And part of that is the pith, very small amount of pith that was there. You're getting that pith bitterness. But I will tell you, the taste of it under that pith isn't bad.
That's a sharp acidity, but it's a nice acidity.
Yeah, it's a nice acidity.
I mean, it more than orange, it reminds me kind of like that. This is gonna flavor me grew up in the 90s, but it's got that kind of tangerine-y character of Sunny D.
It does. You're right. In fact, it does. This one has potential.
You know what the bitch of this is?
What?
Look how small these fruits are.
Yeah.
I mean, back to the lychee problem.
These are large grapes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And honestly, we ate the peel and all, okay, guys?
Mm-hmm.
And if you were to use this in a mead, I would say cut them up a little bit, freeze them, mash them, and just use the whole freaking thing.
Yeah. No, that's kind of how I would take it. I mean, yeah, freeze, thaw, smush.
Freeze, thaw, smush again, and...
Because there's not, the pith is not that substantial here. You know, you can get bitter flavors from citrus pith.
Yeah.
This. We can get bitter flavors from any kind of seed. We know this. The seeds are there. I bit into one. It's about the size of a small orange seed.
Yeah. It looks like one too.
Yeah. It's not big, but you know, it's there. It's hard. But your teeth will feel it. But
even the short lookup on the internet, Wikipedia said the seeds are edible, so it's nothing you have to worry about, you know, like with apple seeds or...
Right, even though you need to eat a lot of apple seeds to consume enough cyanide.
There's nothing in there that we can't eat.
Incidentally, did you hear that the lychees that we were eating last week, they have a toxicity for humans?
The seeds?
Yes.
Yeah.
The seeds can cause hypoglycemia, which is not really a big deal for most people, but apparently for very poor kids, during that lychee harvest season, that May to June, July, if lychee is all they're eating and they're not getting a good meal, they can develop, like, encephalopathy.
Yeah.
And once it gets to that point, it's like 44% fatal for those poor guys.
I'm sorry for them.
But... Yeah. So the...
Okay.
Apparently for a lot of the communities that happens in that are close to like big lychee, you know, growing regions, the big solution was, hey, feed your kids dinner.
Yeah. But the kumquat has the best potential of everything we've had today.
For sure. 100%.
But
100%.
I mean, you know, the pomelos are magnificently large.
Yes.
The yellow pomelo has like maybe a half inch rind around the fruit. The green one had about 1 inch, you know, well, 3/4 inch.
Yeah, I'd say 3/4, maybe.
Maybe a touch more, but.
5/8, and if I'm being generous, in a few, like, narrow areas, but 3/4 looks about right.
Yeah, 3/4 inch rind above the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that may be because one's green, one's yellow.
Pith, not rind.
I'm sorry.
Pith. Yeah.
But I saw another thing, and it was listed separately from these two in the same trip. And I brought it for you for a surprise little invitation here. It's called a melon. It looks a lot like the pomelo in size and the shape. Okay, the pomelos have an iron, the stems are oblong on top.
Right. It's almost kind of pear-ish.
Yeah.
Like pear, but didn't quite get the memo.
Yeah. This one is grapefruit.
Yeah, this is a round melon shape.
It's got the same kind of skin.
And I completely forgot about this because it was sitting behind my laptop screen. And aha.
And now we have a much brighter red fruit.
Yeah.
And a thicker rind, a thicker pith.
Yeah, this is approaching an inch in some places. Maybe around the top it's half an inch. But for the most part, it's an inch.
That's the bottom. That's the bottom right here is the half inch part.
Oh, you're right. The stem is closer to the top. And it's about an inch at the stem top part. But yeah, no, we are getting into pink grapefruit territory with this flesh.
You want to try to rip that one apart like you did the other one?
I'm only half joking when I'm making these moves.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, no, that's...
It's not going to get it.
That pith is... it bends more, but the flexibility of it is what's giving me problems, really, because it doesn't, it resists by not resisting as much. It holds itself together, so I'm going to let you do some cutting, and we'll get some of these sections.
I'm hoping this comes out a little bit better for us. I'm glad I got it, because
the color is wonderful. Promising,
yeah,
if nothing else. Yeah, we'll just...
So I actually catch these in the wedges because, well, that's how we ate the others anyway.
Yeah, and, well, hell, I'm just going to bite the wedge.
Oh.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
The melon. Yeah. Mm.
And maybe this is just riper than the other two we've had because it is more red. But yeah. Yeah.
This has potential. Now, mind you, this, again, it's not super juicy.
I mean, it's also, for the size of the fruit, you would get, like, maybe a quart of juice out of this. Maybe. If that.
Yeah, maybe. But the juice itself, the fruit itself, is good.
This is the, of the fruits we've had today, the two pomelos, the sweet lemon, the kumquats, and the pomelon?
Pomelon.
This is the only one other than the kumquat I would have another piece of.
Yeah. This is actually really good. I mean. Yeah,
this is nice.
The, again, I'm going to tell you right now.
And this, again, this might be a ripeness thing. Maybe we're just doing this wrong and we just bought underripe fruit from the other two.
Because we have no idea what we're doing.
Right.
But there, when I got to the melon, there was actually a guy there, a selectina. He was going through going, I said, how do you know which ones to pick up? Because I had no clue. He goes, you go for the heavy ones.
Makes sense. Okay.
You go for the heavy ones. And so I went for I went through several of them. My wife and I went through several of them, and I got a heavy one. And if that's the case, maybe we should do on the others too. But now, I'll be honest with you, the wedge I just got here, there's some of the rind is over an inch thick. Mm. The pith is over an inch thick. So I'm getting very little fruit for wine. I mean, look on this side, almost
yeah.
two.
Oh, God. Easily an inch and a half on that side, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it's really good, though. And there is potential. And use the pith, this pith, the rind, the zest on this one, too, for your next.
I'm separating these zests from the pomelo, because I want to see if the zest is any different at all. Because it has a different texture to it as well. It is a smoother texture than the pomelo that had a kind of a pebbly, look at the orange and the yellow from before.
Yeah.
That the yellow and the green, they both have that kind of pebbly, orangey, like the skin of an orange or a grapefruit. And this is just a little bit smoother.
Yeah.
It still very much has the same supports and stuff you would expect. A can of worms, buddy. A can of worms.
I got a really good flavor here. I could easily get this into a really solid bottle of mead with a light honey.
Mm-hmm.
But the pomelon, I kid you not, that's such a nice, sharp flavor when it hits your mouth. And it fades quickly.
It's bright. It's sweet. That's the win.
That is the win.
Pomelo and kumquat together. Would they work?
Find out.
Is kumquat too sharp for the pomelo?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Way too sharp. Way too sharp. Oh, my God.
Chris popped a whole kumquat into his mouth, bit down, and started having... I'm not going to say fits.
Yeah.
Fits is accurate, though.
Yeah.
Got up to spit it out. That's a little too much.
That was the experience. Oh, okay. The sharpness of the kumquat, I'll tell you what happened. The sharpness of the kumquat, especially the skin, oils in the skin, with the pomelon, they didn't work well together at all. It started I like to say a fight, but it was more like a lot of conflict in my mouth. The citrus acids were not compatible.
Really?
They did not work together at all. I mean, I'm going to invite you to not do the stupid thing I did and take a whole large kumquat with it. Give you a little tiny slice of one.
No, I'm going to be stupid.
Okay, well,
this is entertainment. We're going to entertain. Okay, I'm going to do what you did. I'm going to start with the pomelon to get that nice smooth flavor.
It is a wonderful smooth flavor. I'd love to make this to a mead.
Mm-hmm. I just feel like we need a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. That's the bite.
I did not rush shake and have fits like Chris did, but yeah, no, they don't work. The kumquat just kind of, the kumquat is the Mack truck driving over, backing up and driving over again of that mellow pomelo.
Yeah, and they citrus. Don't work well together at all.
Yeah.
Okay, now mind you, the kumquat I ate was almost twice the size of one that Jeff grabbed. That may have something to do with it, because I got a huge burst of that kumquat.
Fair.
But, you know, I like the kumquat, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, it's good.
I like the melon. It was great.
They just don't work together.
They don't work together. But, no, but guys.
These are two different. These are like different ends of a very wide branch of is citrus good spectrum.
Yeah.
For people that like a little grapefruit juice in the morning with their breakfast, pomelon, hell. Check that out.
Check it out. This is so good.
For people that like that sharp citrusy, like a key lime pie.
I love key lime pie.
Kumquat lime or a kumquat pie.
That's a thought.
We're not talking meat anymore. We're just talking dessert.
Yeah, but.
Holy. Yeah. Tell me I'm wrong.
No, you're not wrong. But, oh, man, that'd be really good. And the place I got the kumquats from is called a place called Pan Asia over in Kansas City, Kansas. And I think almost in Olathe.
It's Lenexa, Olathe. Yeah,
that area. It's
pretty far south of town.
I'm going to give them a plug here simply because that's where I got these. And they have a cafe and they have a bakery. The European market, the World Market, 103rd by CAF, has a bakery. With a lot of really interesting, they've got a key lime, and the kumquat would go right in with that. I bet it would. That is so good. Oh my gosh,
there's a couple wins there. There's a couple disappointments. I mean, these are fun as hell. So, Chris, we on the topic of baking. While I was poking around the Asian market,
okay.
I found something else that I have been hearing about quite a bit, but haven't actually had the chance to try. This is dried galanga. This is related to ginger.
Okay.
And from everything I've heard, it has the same kind of relationship. Galangal and ginger have the same kind of relationship as like mace and nutmeg. Not that they're from the same plant. They're like cousins, essentially, plant-wise, instead of like different parts of the same plant.
It's actually two separate plants.
It is two separate plants.
Okay.
But they're used kind of interchangeably. If you don't have one, you can use the other kind of a thing. But they are similar but different. And I've not had galangal yet. This is just dried galangal. It's not the fresh stuff. But well, I figured this is worth trying too, right? So, okay. And just by itself, it's a woody, dry plant. It very much looks like a dried ginger is a root. This is a root. We're nothing unfamiliar, but
yeah.
It gets a little.
Oh, you get that. If you break it, you get a little bit of the powdery stuff. Really? It has a very ginger-like feel in the nose.
Mm-hmm.
Not the same, though.
It smells familiar, though. You know, there is a level of familiarity here.
My problem is my fingers are coated with the citrus, well, the peels. So I'm sitting here.
We've been tearing apart for this episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, citrus and ginger kind of go together anyway.
Yeah, so yeah. I can smell the, what is it, galangal?
Galangal, yeah.
Galangal, okay.
Or I mean, who knows if we're saying any of this?
Yeah, right. Well, you know, you said there's a European way to say pomelo.
Yeah, I when I was doing research for this episode, I was looking at how people are using it, like whether culinarily or in meats and stuff, and I saw this English family was tearing one apart, and they were calling it a pomelo or something like that. And I thought that was just cute as hell.
Okay, yeah. Well, so, you know, there's 27 different ways to pronounce this, and we're probably going to hit most of them.
Yeah, we're probably wrong on every count.
Yeah, so that's okay.
That's fine. I'm going to put this in my mouth, though, and see how it tastes.
Me too. Oh, that hits fast. That hits really fast.
Mm-hmm. Mine hasn't hit yet, but it is. It's a rather ginger flavor.
Okay, I'm done with mine.
Oh yeah. That, once you chew on it, it has that sharpness. And you know, when we talked about ginger, the dried ginger hits harder than fresh ginger.
Oh, right? Yeah.
So I would assume if we can get fresh galangal, it wouldn't hit as hard as this does.
But this will burns a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it has an almost, you know, this is similar but different than ginger.
Now this has an earthier flavor in my mouth.
Almost like woodsy, yeah.
Yeah, I know that ginger is considered to have a earthy, peppery flavor. And according to when I looked it up online, the galangal offers a sharp citrus pine flavor. I think that the tip of my tongue has like a pine-like going across it right now. Mm-hmm. That piece I chewed on.
I could maybe see some pininess to this.
Yeah, maybe, but it doesn't mention the earthiness or, but it does have floral hints and a peppery bite, according to what, you know, the okay. internet.
But yeah, no, this is just something I found that I thought was interesting. And we can, is this something I'm going to use in a mead instead of ginger? Maybe. Am I going to use the dried galangal? Mm. This is the amount of burn we're getting off of this. This might be an adjunct the same kind of way we would use hot peppers for capsicum.
Capsules, you know, yeah.
It gives a little bit of that, just that, because I've said so many times before, there's two different approaches to making capsicum. There's, I'm going to add this little, like, tertiary or ancillary flavor that just adds a little interest to the whole palate of...
Like your blackberry ghost pepper.
The blackberry ghost pepper we were talking about, where, like... It's mostly the blackberry and the sweet honey.
But it's got a little bit of surprise in there. Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, it's just a little burn to finish it out.
I don't like hot peppers, but I'd like that.
Or the other approach is we're going to punk your friends. Sure. That unlabeled one we did like four episodes in when we were doing the How to Judge Meads episode, and we regretted it immediately.
Oh, I regretted it really fast. I don't do all hot spicy. I never have, probably never will. But oh my, like... Oh, I'm surprised I got the word capsicum out of my mouth after that hit.
Yeah, no, I like my hot sauces. I'm not a ghost pepper is a lot for me.
Yeah.
I don't want to go that high, and but
How when you made your blackberry ghost pepper one, how long was the ghost pepper in the blackberry?
Half of a ghost pepper was in for maybe 2 hours.
So really light touch.
Yeah, I got all the heat I wanted out of that.
And how many gallons?
One.
One, okay.
Yeah. There was not much at all for not very long at all, but I got what I wanted. And hey, if you're going to use hot peppers for mead, wear nitrile gloves. I did not. And then I rubbed my eye.
No.
And then I regretted it for 20 minutes. So, you know, learn from my dumbness.
He regretted for 20 years, which was actually 20 minutes, but it felt like years. Yeah, but galangal, okay. That, it, now... It says it's a rhizome just like ginger, mm-hmm. and the key takeaway culinarily, they're not interchangeable, but they have a similar profile.
Right, and these do feel similarly. They have the same kind of burn. They have a similar flavor profile, I think, that it's just a little different. These guys are cousins in every stretch of the imagination, so I thought this was an interesting kind of adjunct to stuff we've talked about before, we're talking about today. You know, citrus and ginger just kind of go nicely together. So.
It says if you look for fresh galangal, look for, it's K-H-A, ka.
Ka, okay.
And that you can find it ground or maybe whole as ka in Asian stores. You know,
interesting. That's so good to know for next time.
Yeah.
As if we needed more reasons to go to Asian grocery
stores. Oh, well, it's...
We're going to get ourselves in trouble. Luckily, our wives love us, too. Yeah.
Well, luckily, my wife, I'm going to go to the Asian market. You want to go? I'm ready. Okay.
In addition to the various fruits and lychee drinks that we brought home for last week's episode, I brought home masaman curry and mushroom soup mix and pocky and all kinds of stuff. So, my wife heard I was going to Asian grocery store and was like, I'll get my purse.
Yeah. So we have very understanding wives, and they let us indulge and have our own thing. But, you know, I hope we helped you out here. Pomelo, we wouldn't, you know, I don't think it's worth the effort.
Is with the pomelo thing, I think I am left with more questions than answers. Is pomelo and pomelon,
the same fruit?
Right. Is it different at all? Did we just get a not very ripe couple of pomelos and the pomelon
was ripe? I don't know.
Maybe.
I hope that's the case.
Yeah. That.
Because I would love for the pomelo to be that good.
Because the yellow pomelo, at best.
Yeah.
The green, a little better.
A little better. But the pomelon, and it was yellow.
Right. And it had bright pinkish flesh inside. That
was good.
That was tasty. So.
And the kumquats, they have such a strong signature. You'd better be pretty good at balancing.
Mm-hmm.
They got some power in there.
Yeah, those of everything we've tasted today, those are the only ones that I would say, hey, light touch.
Yeah.
And, you know, don't hesitate to get a decent, I would do a tannin with those for sure to kind of just chill that acid out a little bit. I would put in a decent amount of sweetness, but I'm not sure if oak is the way I want to go with something so like bright and citrusy.
Yeah.
I would almost try like a green tea with that.
Good idea. I like that idea.
That's God damn it. Now I'm going to make a kumquat meal.
You don't need these for the cause.
The list.
Darn. The list. The list. It's always the list. Guys, have a great day. Happy meeting. Glad you were here with us today. I hope you got as much out of it as we did.
Or at least we're entertained by our struggles.
Yeah, so have a great day. Take care of yourself, Jeff.